The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I'm your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to be part of the show. I started selling and supporting computers as a business at a time when there were few business resources for the entrepreneur who specialized in IT. Most business-related training and support was somewhat generic and didn't offer a lot of insight into the startup, marketing, and to management of an enterprise as dynamic as the tech industry. At the time, there was no central database of information or tools to help me learn the computer business. I learned by trial and error, and mostly by error. Today, we have books, forums, and Google. Google is a great tool for finding what you need. The problem is that, in order to use Google, you first have to know what it is you are looking for. Then you have to sort through it all to find exactly what you need, because it's all over the place. This is why I created the ForceField.net portal. The idea was to create a repository of all the information relative to our businesses that is available on the net. The ForceField.net is not the primary provider of the content itself. It merely finds content that is specific to our industry, neatly categorizes it, and makes it easy to locate. In other words, the ForceField doesn't create the resource. It tells you where you can find it. This week, we'll talk with an IT professional who started his own computer business and then created a website that soon became a very useful resource for service providers around the world to discuss the business of IT from a business perspective. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. The OpenOffice.org community announced the release of OpenOffice.org 3 Beta to the public May 7th. OpenOffice.org 3.0 is the latest release of the open source Office suite originally developed by Sun Microsystems and is considered by many to be one of few serious competitors of Microsoft Office. In an email announcement distributed to members of the OpenOffice.org community marketing group, John McCreesh, OpenOffice.org marketing project lead, told members of the marketing group that the beta was released publicly to provide a broader base for testing the new version, but was not intended for use in a production environment. According to McCreesh, new features of the Office suite include an ability to display multiple pages in the word processor called Writer, a solver component and an increase to 1,024 columns in the Calc spreadsheet, chart enhancements, and an improvement to the crop feature used in Draw, and the Microsoft PowerPoint-like presentation program known as Impress. The new version will support Open Document Format 1.2 and will work with Microsoft Office 2007, Microsoft Office 2008 for Mac, and Microsoft Office binary file formats. In the email, McCreesh told members of the marketing group that the new version would also be more compatible with OS X. OpenOffice.org 3.0 will be the first version to run on Mac OS X without X11, with the look and feel of any other Aqua application. It introduces partial VBA support to this platform, McCreesh wrote. In addition, OpenOffice.org 3.0 integrates well with the Mac OS X accessibility APIs, and thus offers better accessibility support than many other Mac OS X applications, he added. According to McCreesh, OpenOffice.org 3.0 is due for release in September. The Office Suite is released under the new GPL and is freely available. OpenOffice.org version 3.0 beta is currently available for download in English for Windows, Linux, OS X, and OpenSolaris at download.openoffice.org/3.0beta. TheForceField.net has joined forces with TradePub.com to offer you a new and exciting professional resource. Now you can subscribe to complimentary information technology magazines such as PC World, Mac World, eWeek, and others in one convenient location. You can also download white papers, webinars, podcasts, and more across 34 industry sectors. Best of all, it's free, and you can't beat free. No credit cards, coupons, or promo codes are required. Subscriptions to these publications are free to professionals who qualify. Visit theforcefield.tradepub.com today to browse our selection, or go to theforcefield.net and click on the menu item labeled Free Publications on the left sidebar. A former security employee for Microsoft issued a fix for computers plagued by the constant reboot issue caused by Windows XP Service Pack 3 May 14th. In a series of posts in his blog, Jesper Johansson, Microsoft security MVP and former Microsoft employee, discussed the reboot problem and released a script written in Visual Basic to resolve it. The issue is caused when Windows XP Service Pack 3 is installed on a PC with an AMD processor. It affects certain OEM computers in particular, most notably Hewlett-Packard. The problem was first reported the day after the re-release of Service Pack 3 to the mainstream, and was the cause of much angst among Windows users in a Microsoft TechNet forum, leading to speculation that, once again, Microsoft had released another buggy service pack. In reality, it may actually be the OEM at fault. The problem appears to manifest itself after Service Pack 3 is installed on a computer with an AMD processor and pre-installed with an XP image that was originally created on an Intel-based PC. The image installs Intel PPM.sys, a driver for power management in Intel PCs, and AMD K8.sys, a power management driver for AMD-based computers. Running Intel PPM.sys on an AMD processor will cause it to reboot constantly. In reality, it causes a stop error. However, if the computer is configured to automatically restart, it will endlessly reboot too fast to display the blue screen. You can download the fix from his website at https://msinfluentials.com/blogs/jesper/archive/2008/05.aspx. And if you didn't catch any of that, you can simply click on the link in the show notes for this episode on the Force Field website entitled Jesper's Blog. And that's the news in the Force Field.
This is Linux Chick from the Alterna Geek Podcast over at alternageek.com. At the Alterna Geek Podcast, Tech Monkey and I cover tech news, how-tos, hardware, software, and gadget reviews, Linux, Windows, Mac, and all things Internet. Stop by alternageek.com and take a listen and join in the conversation on the website, or send us an email letting us know your take on things at podcast@alternageek.com. Alterna Geek, we're not your typical geeks. Alterna Geek is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network.
Hi, my name's Paul, and I'm the host of the Caffeination Podcast, a podcast that doesn't just deal with caffeine and technology and topics. They're more of a lifestyle around here. If you're like me and you can't get out of bed in the morning without that little cup of coffee, if you're like me and you need to know all the best and the greatest in technology news from around the world and right next to you, then you need to tune in to the Caffeination Podcast, www.caffeination.com. Thanks, and stay caffeinated.
You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow professionals in the field. If you'd like to talk, you can call me at 407-CPU-JOY-8. That's 407-278-5698, or through Skype at Savoia Computer. If you don't have Skype, simply go to the Force Field Podcast Episodes page at theforcefield.net and click the Skype icon located on the right sidebar. The download is free, the call is free, and the show is free. And you can't beat free. So call in and dare to enter the Force Field. There are some excellent resources on the internet that are well worth the time to peruse and use. One such resource that I like and use is Based in the Land Down Under. In 2006, Bryce Whitty launched a website to help technicians manage both the technical and business aspects of their companies. While his site features tips and tools designed for professionals, he caters to the hobbyist and home techie as well. Bryce is based in Australia, but his visitors come from all around the globe. This week, we're going to talk to Bryce, learn about the differences and similarities of IT service and support in different parts of the world, talk about his site, and discuss the current trends in the industry from his perspective, as we talk with the creator and owner of the .com resource called TechNibble. And we're speaking to Bryce. Bryce, welcome to the Force Field.
Hi, how are you?
Just great. How about yourself?
Yep, good, thanks.
First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right, I've been working as a computer technician for the last 6 years. I also did a lot of web design work on the side, but I've since pulled out of doing web design work for clients and focused on developing some of my own sites, and one of those is TechNibble.com.
Now, what exactly is TechNibble?
TechNibble is designed to be a resource for computer technicians. The main inspiration behind it was originally for young technicians who really know their stuff with computers but don't really understand the first thing about business. So TechNibble covers a lot of things like how to start the business, getting their first few clients, and how to deal with their first bad client even. There's also a fair bit for experienced technicians as well. We mention a lot of new ways to get business and a lot of things along that line. I actually get a fair bit of the site out of the site myself. We have quite a good forum community, and they mention a lot of things I've never would have thought before.
Now, I joined TechNibble myself a while back, and I think it's a great site, a lot of great resources there. When was TechNibble launched?
I think it was February 2006.
Okay. It was not too long after that I first saw it. Sometime towards the end of 2006, the beginning of 2007. I know I've been lurking around there for the better part of a year. I really like the site, and the forums are great, too. Now, you're based in Australia, but I noticed that many members of the TechNibble forums and visitors to the site are based in the United States. How many members are from other countries?
Other countries other than the U.S. or?
Well, other countries other than Australia.
I think the majority, as you noticed, is American. I'd say 80 to even 90% is American. Probably the next most common is the UK, and then a small handful of Australians. The majority is mostly Americans.
Mm-hmm. In fact, it seems that a lot of the business-related IT issues discussed in the TechNibble forums seem to be common between techs in many of the countries and regions that are represented on your site. Now, I know that taxation and certain other regional things are somewhat different, but I did notice that some of the other questions and concerns about starting up and running a computer business, such as financing, marketing, and customer service, seem to be somewhat universal. Is there truly a lot of common ground here?
There's a lot of things that happens anywhere in the world. Some basic advertising, it's advertising is just advertising. We all have a Yellow Pages or Yellow Pages equivalent. There's only a little bit that's slightly different. I believe doing letterbox drops, unaddressed mail, is illegal in America. That's what I've been told, but in Australia, it's quite legal.
Well, actually, the part that's illegal is actually stuffing the mailboxes themselves, because that's considered the domain of the U.S. mail only, but there are other alternatives to dropping them off. I know that has been discussed somewhat in the forums in the past.
Yes. Well, in Australia, that's pretty much free game, and it's also very effective. But all the other stuff, in all countries, everyone gets a bad client. Everyone wants to know how to start up. It's majority of it is universal.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what is the current state of the IT industry in Australia? Is it much different in the land down under from where it is in the U.S., or is it better or worse?
It's about the same. It's about the same as America, I'd say. Our broadband is pretty weak here in Australia compared to other countries. We get low bandwidth and it costs a lot, but everything else is hardware and all that. It's pretty much the same stuff. We live in a global market, so we're getting all the same hardware that the Americans are getting.
What is your average bandwidth?
Probably about, I'm on ADSL 2 at the moment. I do about, I think it's about 1,500 or so. That's okay. That's just sort of okay.
That's DSL, right? Do you have cable service?
We do have cable. It's a little bit faster, but prohibitively expensive. We'll get about 10 gig download for about $100 Australian, which is probably around about $90 American.
Well, I have cable here, and the particular cable service we have in this area, in the Charlotte, North Carolina area, is not the best. In fact, hopefully we'll have stable service while we're on this conversation. I've had disconnects before, and the bandwidth is not too bad, but the service is just not the best. It does tend to be somewhat sporadic at times, at least in my area.
I've had similar on some cable providers as well, but generally in the city, it's in Australia, it's quite good. But out in the country, and there's quite a lot, obviously, as you probably know, there's plenty of country, it gets really bad. In most outside the cities and sort of the metropolitan area, there's a lot of places where can't get ADSL broadband at all.
Now, as far as the rest of the IT industry goes in Australia, it's pretty much about the same, you think?
It's about the same. There are a lot more IT startups that are happening in Australia. It's become quite a good little place for little business to start up. But it's generally the same as America. We're not as dense. We just don't have the density that you guys, the population, but it's getting better. It's getting good.
What is the average population in the metropolitan areas?
I think my city of Melbourne is 3.1 million or so. It's not that much compared, whereas other cities in America, that's tiny. Like in New York,
that's a pretty fair size city.
We're the second largest city in Australia, but it's not that bad, I suppose.
What's the average population in some of the smaller towns?
Probably the smallest one is probably about 4 hours drive from where I am, and so I suppose it tapers off. The larger ones may have 10,000, 20,000, whereas the further out you go, I'm assuming it's the same in America, that it just starts to die off, 5,000, 1,000. Really, really small ones can have under 500.
Are they fairly well serviced by computer techs? I mean, is there maybe like a tech in every town, or do you find yourself having to commute a lot to some of these smaller towns to drive 3-4 hours to do a job?
I wouldn't drive that far out to these smaller towns. My radius is about half an hour in all directions. Sometimes if I charge a little bit more, I can go about an hour. But beyond that, I usually just leave them alone. Sometimes it's just not worth my time to go out that far. But in these small towns, as far as their service, some of the most remote ones I've seen, they usually have one IT store that does selling both computers and also servicing computers, and a lot of them also work as an internet cafe. A lot of them have satellite internet, which is terribly slow, but out in those areas, it's pretty much all they got aside from 56K.
Is the satellite internet service pretty expensive there? It is here.
It would be. I'm not too sure, but I assume it would be quite bad.
Now, you offer a product for sale on your website called the Computer Business Kit. According to the description of your site, it's a collection of form samples or templates that techs can use in their computer business. Now, I often hear requests in various tech forums and news groups for exactly this kind of resource. So it seems to be just exactly what techs are searching for. What specific forms are included in this kit?
Probably the main thing that in there is a maintenance contract. There's also a lot of work order samples, a backup checklist, invoice samples. Like some people starting up don't even know what a tech invoice looks like. A lot of other things that are very specific to technicians, like wireless and internet settings forms. So let's say I went to a client's place and I just set up their wireless. It probably won't be long till they ask me what their password is and all that. So I just write it out all on this form. And down the bottom is some basic stuff saying if it's not working, try unplugging the router temporarily, plug it back in, and that sort of thing. A few other things in there, web hosting contract, web hosting's description form. I got most of that, obviously, from my experiences doing a lot of web development. And yeah, there's quite a bit more, and that's $49 American.
Are these forms designed to be merely taken as general examples, or can they be freely modified, rebranded, or used as actual templates?
They're designed to be rebranded. I've left a blank space in there for them to slap their own logo in there, make it very much their own. And so they are general templates. They can slap their own logo and do as they please. Obviously, they couldn't resell the items and repackage, but I'm using it for all their clients and all that. Yep, no problems.
Are these forms that you originally used in your own business?
Yes. Also using them myself, it gave me a lot of time to refine them. Like previously there may have been a space that it needed a lot more room to write, and I've realized this and go, okay, I better change this. I changed it. And so they're quite refined and to the point where I eventually released them and as they are. And so people don't have to make up their own.
One of the regular features of your website is the TechNibbles Repair Tool of the Week, which is a particular favorite of mine. And this seems like a great idea to draw both members and visitors to your site. Has this been a big draw to the site?
Yeah, a lot of technicians love that. Even a lot of just computer enthusiasts enjoy it. I think that's probably been one of the big things that's drawn a lot of people to the site. Also, the Computer Repair Utility Kit, which is a collection of all of them. That just went like wildfire through the internet. I got a lot of new visitors out of that.
In fact, I was just about to ask about that. The Computer Repair Utility Kit is pretty much a compilation of all of these, of all the ones in the past year or during a set period?
I released it probably about 4 months ago, and it was everything before that point. I'm about to release a new one, which includes everything up to pretty much now.
This will be pretty much updated on a regular basis, a work in progress?
Yeah, it's just updated on a regular basis. As we add more repair tools of the week, then we'll give it a few months to collect a few, and then we'll release a new one containing those ones that have popped up in the last few months.
Now, how does the kit work?
It uses a menu that people can right-click on. It's very much like your right-click menu where you have your arrange icons, refresh and all that. It appears as a little icon down in the start menu, and it's ordered by things like informational tools, which, you know, you can see tools that will show you the processes and similar. Other section of it might have a lot collection of virus removal tools, and you might see things like hijack this and some small virus scanners and similar.
Can it be booted directly from the CD?
It can be booted from a CD or a USB drive. All the tools in there are portable, so that most people just load them on their USB drive. You can even make it auto-run, so as soon as they plug in the USB drive, then the program fires up.
And I assume it can be installed as well in the operating system?
Yep, they can install it on the operating system if they want.
Okay. Well, it sounds like a great suite of tools. How much does that cost, or is it free?
That one's free.
So it's just freely available?
Most of them are, nearly all of them were made by other people, and I got permission to say, hey, can I chuck them in there? And pretty much all of them said yes, and obviously I can't take any money for other people's work. All I've really done is put it together in an easily usable tool and made it available to technicians.
Are these under the open source or Creative Commons licenses, or are they freeware?
Most of them are freeware. A few of them are open source, but the license with pretty much all of them is that you're free to distribute them as long as you don't sell them or modify the package in any way, the actual application. Since I'm doing neither, then it's all good to go.
Well, Bryce, where do you think the industry is headed in the future? Where do you think the computer tech will be in the next 5 years?
I think we'll be around. The computers are becoming much more of a tool nowadays in high schools that you just really can't get along without a computer with, you know, the basics, Microsoft Word and all that. Nowadays, I'm seeing a lot of Macintoshes in the home market. I think people are getting annoyed with Vista or heard bad things about it and just went straight to a Mac. And also in the business market, they're just doing things as they've always done, mainly Windows.
We're seeing that all over now. The Mac has been really gaining some traction here. I think a lot of it's thanks to Vista. And the same with Linux. We just finished a series here on selling Linux, a three-part series. And, you know, it's definitely gaining some traction as well.
It's good to see. I like seeing that Microsoft's getting shaken up a little bit about it. It'll make them be a bit more pioneering, do some better stuff. I think they've been a bit too comfortable in the Windows market, and they'll have to innovate a bit more and release some better products now that everyone else is trying to get a piece of their pie.
Have you been working with Vista yourself at all?
I had Vista on my main machine for quite some time, and it wouldn't run one of my printers, which is just dirt cheap to run and is very quick, and that was just a massive deal breaker for me, so I went straight back to XP. If everyone wants Vista, I usually try and convince them out of it. And I actually do a lot of people who bought laptops that came with Vista, and I roll them back to XP for them.
Pretty much, as a system builder, I've been in the same situation. I've had people ordering their PCs from me. They definitely want XP on them, not Vista, so I build them with XP. And it is going to be a problem this summer when Microsoft decides to cut us off from XP. Hopefully they'll change their minds before then, but that's not going to help the local system builder where some of his business relies on people that come in for a custom box and they don't want Vista. They want XP.
Yeah, that's the way I'm seeing here.
Yeah. Well, Bryce, thanks a lot. I really appreciate your time on the show. Thanks for visiting us on the Force Field. Before you go, if you could just let us know how we can get to TechNibble, give us the address of the website and any other contact info.
Yep. The address is www.technibble, spelled TechNibble.com.
Okay. And if they wanted to reach you, how can they best reach you?
Probably best way through the site. There's a little contact link down the bottom. If they want to get in contact with me, then just hit the contact link. I also lurk around the TechNibble forums quite a lot, so they can also talk to me directly there if they like.
Once again, Bryce, thanks a lot for your time on the Force Field today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Sure, no problem. And we'll be chatting again soon because I lurk around TechNibble sometimes myself.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
Sure, you have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent The Force Field, Savoia Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoia Computer. For The Force Field, I'm Rick Savoia. May the Force Field be with you.